have to understand, for me to go to Africa by myself with Parkinson's, it's really difficult. And so I got on a plane from L.A. to Washington, Washington to Germany, Germany to Ethiopia, spent 4 days in Ethiopia, Ethiopia to Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, spent the night there, then flew on this puddle jumper, and that's using it, I mean, graceful. And then we went, headed over to where his headquarters are. Then the next day, we got on this plane. And Don Rogers, you have to understand, Don's language changes when we get to Africa. He speaks in some kind of, hey, let me tell you about Africa. And so we got on this little plane, and honest to goodness, I was praying that this plane would not fly because I was getting scared. And you have to understand, God takes you out of your comfort zone, and for me, I don't have a comfort zone. I just have different levels of anxiety. You understand that? And so there's no comfort zone at all. And so when we landed in, this is what we had to travel in. Now, I just got to know Don. There was no Enterprise rent-a-car. It was some guy with a truck where 8 of us rode in the back of a truck. This is what it was. And so what Don does, he teaches not by words, but he brings you through experiences. And so he goes, I want to show you cattle camp. And so we went to a cattle camp. And this is in my head. I was going, Don, hold my hand. Please hold my hand. I need my hand held. But it was the most loving people on the planet and the greatest ministry. And so then we met with the tribal leaders and decided to give them the seed money to start an orphanage there and a school. But that doesn't stop with Don. He goes, let's go to Bor. And so we drove in that truck on this road, and this is the only road there. This is Bor, hours, sitting in a pickup truck. And so Don decides to take us to a refugee camp. Now, if you've ever seen refugee camps, they're not exciting, but Don wants us to experience what the Lord sees. And so there was a time there when I was in the refugee camp, and I saw this little child that could not see, it was blind. And this mother, the mothers in this refugee camp. If there was a hashtag Me Too, it was in this refugee camp. Because a lot of these women were raped. And I remember going this in my prayer. I wanted just to get away. And I'll grab my head this way and I go, where are you, God? And I believe God said to me, the question is, where are my people? And so when I turned back to the child, Don was kneeling, talking to the mother, while the nurse on the team was administering and showing how to use the medication. And I go, there's God. So if you have a friend that jacks up your life, Don jacked up my life. And I have a great, great respect for Don and his leadership and how he makes a difference in Africa and the difference in America sharing these stories. So I'm going to ask Don if he can come forward this time and we can pray for Don. And he's just a good friend, and he's more goofier than I am. You can use this if you want, or whatever you want. Let me pray for you, Don. Father, we just ask you to just anoint Don with your spirit. Jesus. We just thank you so much. And I just pray, Lord, that whatever comes out of his mouth will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Let us be receptive. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Very good. Thank you, Kevin. Jambo. Jambo, that means hello in Kiswahili. And the response is that you will say back, Jambo. Are you ready? Jambo.
Jambo.
Now you're starting. Very good. You're on your way to Africa. You know, thank you, Kevin. I didn't know Kevin was going to give any kind of introduction, but he brought me back. He brought me back, and I remember that little child that was blind. But what's amazing is that, you know why that child was blind? It was because of the flies. because of so many flies. And as the flies move around the face of these little babies and these children, the flies are getting moisture from the eye. So they use their tongue, and they'll gather moisture from the tear ducts of the children, but they'd also deposit certain bacterias that happen to cause the eye now to get a certain condition. The eyelid begins to turn under. And as that child blinks, the hairs from the eye literally scrape away on the surface of the eye, causing this child to lose blindness. Can you imagine what it feels like to have a piece of dirt in your eye? Could you imagine that being a permanent condition that you cannot get rid of? My friends, it's heartbreaking. But I don't say that because I ask us to leave today with hearts that are crushed, but to leave today with hearts that are encouraged, because our God is alive. Our God is moving. Our God is bringing change. I thank God for these scriptures that were read today, because they are true. It is not just a book. It is the truth for all eternity. From Isaiah 40, I remember hearing, "He is great in strength, he is mighty in power, and in his eyes no one is missing." God knows and sees that child. He gives strength to the powerless. And then in the second from the passage that was read from Psalm 147, I heard it stood out to me. It says, "He heals the brokenhearted, he lifts up the downtrodden." And in 1 Corinthians 9, the third passage that was, it says, "Woe to me if I don't proclaim this gospel." There's something that is alive inside of me. It has to be shared. I am entrusted with the commission. And then in 1 Corinthians 9:21, it says, so I may win more. And in verse 30, so I can share in the blessing. You know, there's rewards. God has rewards for us when we see him, when we are simply obedient in the small things and the big things. As we are his, somehow he's keeping score. And there is reward. Doesn't it say in Matthew 6, store up your treasures where? In heaven. He's not saying that treasure's bad. He's just saying put it in the right place. Because friends, 5 seconds after we die, we will know how we should have lived. And that song that we just sang, weak made strong through the Savior's love. Praise God. God is moving. He's alive. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this body. How many of you would remember when Kevin first went to South Sudan? Anybody here? Many of you. Many of you were here, and I know you were praying for him. That's why he stayed past the third day. He actually came to me. If it's okay to say, Kevin, when we were in... it's not okay. All right. All right. Just put your... Go la, 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 la. Around the third day in South Sudan, we'd already traveled. We'd been through a lot of different experiences. But on the third day in South Sudan, and it was tough. It was so hot. We're sleeping on these cots and these tents, and there was just no relief whatsoever from the heat and the conditions. It's amazing, amazing place and amazing people. And Kevin said, "Don, I'm so glad I came. My eyes are open, my heart is open, and I feel like I get it. Can you have the plane come tomorrow?" And I had to point out to him, "Kevin, this was a chartered plane. You book it. It doesn't come early. And if it comes, we have to all leave. And we're, as a team," there was just a few, about four or five of us, "but we weren't ready to go. There are still more things we wanted to see and explore." So he said, "Thank you, Kevin. I'm glad you get it. Get it tomorrow, too. And let's keep going." But Kevin didn't just come once. He came back again. Do you remember that? And Kevin, Pastor Kevin, I love this man. I love his heart for the Lord. I love who he is and his leadership. And every time I've come to this church, I leave blessed. I really do. I leave blessed and I leave encouraged. Because, friends, working in Africa, it's really not easy, but it's worth it. I can hardly explain the joy that I have to be able to serve God in this way. I don't know how in his providence that he directed me to be over there in Africa. And believe me, I was scared, especially the first time. I'd never been, but it was just this sense of undercurrent, and God opened these doors, and I ended up going. Cross-cult, people see the world differently. I know this afternoon, is there a football game today? Or was it basketball? You know, of course it's a Super Bowl day, isn't it? And, you know, imagine, the Kenyan who came to America for the first time and his friend decided to take him to an American football game. They do not have that in East Africa. They play soccer. So this whole thing of the outfit and no clue. So anyway, he goes to the football game. And his friend is so enthusiastic, and the game goes, and the game finishes, and they're on their way home, and the American friend turns to his Kenyan friend, and he says, "Hey, what did you think?" And the guy said, "Wow, very interesting, very interesting." He says, "Well, did you like it?" He goes, "Yes, but I don't understand the money." His friend said, "The money? What do you mean the money?" He said, "Yes. At the beginning of the game, that one man, he took the coin, he threw it into the air, it lands on the ground, and for the rest of the game, the guy next to me was shouting, 'Get the quarter back!'" It all depends how you see it, right? And as we work in Africa, people see life differently. Could you just got a glimpse of what Kevin was talking about. Do those people see life differently than we do? Oh my goodness, absolutely. Do they face different struggles? Yes. Face different challenges? Yes. But they are different. They're different. But I praise God there is one Savior. It's not you and it's not me. And I have seen our Lord Jesus Christ turn lives that were broken, injured, wounded, in the pit of poverty and despair, to turn them around and to be beacons of light and hope to their communities. And I'm seeing it over and over again in such powerful ways. And I want to share with you today some of the things that God has been doing recently. And I'm going to ask for your prayers. Because what I see God doing needs our prayers. Because there's a opening, a door that God is kicking over to reach a certain group of people that before I had seen as unreachable. But I want to emphasize as I move through this brief time, Ephesians 2:10, where it says this: "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work that God has had in mind for us all along." Can you see the three things inside of there? Beautiful. One, we are God's what? Workmanship. We are God's what? That means he crafted us. He designed us. It was his choice that we have life. Another version says we are God's masterpiece. How about that? Look at your neighbor right now and just say, "I'm God's masterpiece." Tell him with a little meaning. It's true. My friends, this world and our enemy wants to step on our necks. And he wants to crush our lives and convince you every morning you wake up to say, "You aren't worth anything." Have you heard that voice? I have. Circumstances, people, friends. How many of you are in junior high? Anybody? Okay, high school? Thank you. Beyond, up to now, it doesn't matter. The devil's always trying to say, "You're too what?" I don't know, For me, my high school coach, when I'm on the playground, on my spot, you know, it's like attendance, you have to stand there. He's going through the roll call, da, 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 and he goes, Rogers. I said, yes, sir. What are those strings hanging out of your shorts? I looked down. You know, I had good shorts, no strings. I said, I'm not sure what you mean. He goes, oh, sorry, those must be your legs. That's the teacher. I mean, if that's the teacher, what else is happening? I had a friend in college, beautiful smile, but whenever she would smile, she'd pull her top lip over her teeth. Go, I go, you know what? I don't know why you do. You have such a beautiful smile. You know what? She had little calcium deposits on the tips. And her older sister growing up used to call her buck teeth. Until that got into her mind, which seeped into what? Her heart and her soul, and moved into her behavior. My friends, God made you. You're his masterpiece, okay? You are beautiful in his eyes, and he loves you so much. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the grave, because his spirit is alive in you, and he adores you, and he embraces you. And it's not just us as Americans. He adores that child who has lost his sight there in South Sudan, though he will never be known in the newspaper or maybe even be able to go to school, but our God loves that child. And he loves the parent, the mother who wishes she could do something, but she doesn't know what to do. We are God's workmanship. Secondly, what? Created in Christ Jesus. That's where we come alive, find our purpose, our hope, our eternal life. If you don't know Jesus today as your personal Savior, then friends, I am excited for you because you have a decision that you can choose him. You can move from a life of purposeless to a life with purpose and with a God and with a Savior who has made you to spend all eternity with him. I hope you'll decide. Choose Jesus. That's where you come alive. And it's not just a religion we follow. It's his spirit inside of us, isn't it? His life. That's where other religions say, worship that God, this thing, that thing. God says, I am Emmanuel, I am with you. And then through John 15, it says, my spirit is in you. This is real. Workmanship, creating Christ Jesus. And now I'm ready for the pie in the sky when I die. Wait a second. The verse didn't end there, did it? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. What does your Bible say? To do good work that God has had in mind for us. You see, he puts a spirit in us so that we can then move into action. To move into action in this neighborhood, in this community, through this church. This is a powerful weapon of the kingdom of God right here. I don't know what you thought when you pulled in this driveway, but you have no idea how demons are shaken because he wants you to just kind of give up, to lose hope. Say, whatever. Another Sunday, another song. Listen, that spirit is alive. And if God wants to use you even to transform one life, it's worth it. Do those small things. Push the flywheel of God's kingdom. Sometimes we say, it's got to be something huge. I got to go to Africa. No, you don't. Be obedient in the small things. And this flywheel begins moving into motion. And then keep doing those small things. And that flywheel gains momentum and gains speed. And then you'll see that wheel fall off the bearing and start moving to crush the enemy. Praise God. I know that you received one of these newsletters, I think, this morning. And you'll be able to see inside of that some of the things that God has blessed us and enabled us to do. We were able to drill 10 fresh water wells in dry villages. We were able to start 2 children's homes, and we're raising 275 orphans. This is 22 years of pushing a flywheel, okay? I had no idea when I first went to Africa or when my pastor said, you know, Don, you should start a nonprofit organization. in 95. I'm thinking, okay, we'll keep working with that one little village. That's what I had in mind. We'll just help them with their chickens and help the poor, because we were training the poor how to come out of poverty. So exciting. But what God has in mind is bigger. And friends, it is all to His glory and His honor. I lose my car keys most of the time. I'm not great at strategic plans. But I got a Savior with me who's given me people like Kevin and a whole group of others and some few churches that are praying for us. And together, we are moving the kingdom of God forward. It is advancing in very powerful ways. In the ways of life of people like Ruth. 22 years we've been training people, pastors, to help them have a way to feed their kids, suffering families and farmers. 4 years, about 5 years ago, I was preaching in a village and the alcoholism was rampant. And I saw that these young people really were following the alcoholics as their role models. And as I talked with these young people after a meeting, they said, well, my mom's a brewer. I said, a brewer? What do you mean a brewer? She doesn't have another way to earn income, and so she's trying to help us with school fees and with food by brewing and selling a dangerous and illegal alcohol. And friends, that alcohol is called chang'a, which means kill me quick. And now there's competition in the villages because it's an addictive drink. Now you can have customers. You get a few coins. Now the other woman says, I can do that too. Now each woman competes with the others to have a more stronger drink. So some of them add rat poison, embalming fluid, and methanol into it so that theirs becomes more powerful. But on any given week, you can read in the newspaper about 3-10 people that died from that brewing den. About 3 years ago, one woman killed 55 people in one day. She didn't mean to. She's not a bad woman. She's a suffering person who had no hope. In fact, there's a video I'd like for you to see that shows you the images and the pictures. So if you can bring that up and watch this. Was an illegal brewer. Each of them having between 20 to 50 customers. I told our Kenyan director, and friends, what started as a very small ministry in one village now is in 4 countries. We have 107 employees. Over 90% are all nationals, gifted, godly people who are called. And Samuel, I said, Samuel, there's this problem. He says, I know the chief, and he's a believer. So Samuel went to the village, and the chief called a community meeting, and he said, if you're interested in changing, in case you are a brewer, we're having a four-day training, and you want to come, we can teach you alternative business skills. A couple days later, we thought maybe three or five. The chief called us up. He said, I have 47. I have 47 women who want to change. We said, we've got 35 beds in our training center. Choose the most desirous, and on that Monday, 47 showed up. We told them, we don't have room for all of you, and this one woman, she said, don't send any of us home. We'll sleep on the floor. We'll sleep two to a bed. We need hope. And friends, we train them in skills, in poultry, in small restaurants, in gardening, in dairy management, but every evening and morning, we do worship, and every day, we do a devotion. And as when they first came, we said, why did you come? And they said, one of them said, I want to learn how to raise chickens. We wrote chickens. Another one, I want to someday have a cow. I want to know how to get the most milk from a cow. Okay, dairy. I want to learn a business. Another lady raised her hand. She goes, I hope this week I can find salvation. We wrote salvation. And when we did the devotions, I said, I know that one of you is looking for salvation. Maybe there's more than one. And if that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. Every hand in the room went up. I said, put those hands back down. Let's talk about this. This is not just a pray and go. This is a light. I began to talk about the price Christ, that he paid for us, and this decision now to follow him and to serve him. And I said, so if that's you and you're ready to turn from this lifestyle and even move into the church that maybe has shunned you in the years past, but you're so serious, then stand to your feet. And everybody stood. And I asked one, why is it that you feel so drawn to give your lives to Christ? And one of the ladies, she said, these business ideas are good, and they are going to help us change, but we need change from the inside out. We need God. And we prayed. And when those 47 women went back to their village, they indeed were transformed. And this is 4 years later, and 100% of those women have remained faithful to not go back to brewing and have continued to move in their churches. The following month after that first group, the chief called us back and he said, I have 53 more that have seen that transformation. So we trained another 53. The next month, it was on national news. Then we had 81, then 80, then 92. Friends, in the last 4 years, like you saw, we've been able to help over 850 families come out of this brewing. And Paris, who was at one of those first trainings, began to help the chief move to different villages, giving her testimony of change. And the chief saw how powerful God and her testimony was. So every time he would move through the village and he was having a community meeting, he'd say, Paris, come with me. And one of those days, Paris was leaving the chief's office, but she noticed a piece of paper on his wall that listed out the most notorious brewers that he was trying to have arrested. And at the top of the list was the name Ruth. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Paris. Said, I want Ruth. And Paris began visiting Ruth. She got in a taxi. She walked by foot. She asked around, where does Ruth live? Ruth was not happy. Can you imagine? She's doing an illegal business. She is tough. She is fierce. She told Paris, I don't want what you have. Leave my compound. But Paris said, I used to do what you do, and I found a different hope. Ruth said, leave. Paris kept visiting. Finally, Ruth came. Friends, it took almost a year, but Ruth came, and when Ruth came, she said, I'm not coming alone, and she brought seven of her other brewing friends, and all of them found Christ, and Ruth now is leading a discipleship group of 13 women in her village. And the chief and the others saw the transformation in her life. And when it came time to vote who the lay leaders, who the village leaders would be, not the government leaders, but the people who represent the people, they chose about five of them that represent almost 4,000 people, Guess who's now the elder in her village? It's Ruth. And when Ruth began serving in that position, the other chiefs saw the strength of leadership, and they put her as the supervisor over 26 other elders. The majority of them are men. And she's telling them what to do. And she's telling them that God is the answer. And now, through our ministry, we're training the core group. I mean, 850 women, how can we follow up with them? It's not easy. So we're training the core group of these leaders. They're coming, and we have 7 women, among them Paris, Ruth, Grace, Emmy, Angeline. Anyway, these 7 women, and we're training them now to be mentors to the other leaders, because we've created co-op groups. So there's this beautiful hierarchy of leadership moving out. In fact, we gave the last training we did for some of these leaders, I noticed as they were taking notes, they were writing in their little books, but they weren't looking at the verses in the Bible. And I recognized that among those women, very few had Bibles. We had some visiting friends from a team with us, and they agreed to help us buy Bibles. Can you watch this other? This is only 60 seconds, and then I'll wrap up. This is when we gave these Bibles. The ladies at this point don't know. Now, that's Ruth right there in the white blouse, right there in the corner. She has a Bible. But the majority of all these ladies, they don't have Bibles. And the guy, he's an associate pastor from a church.
So important.
He says, the word of God is so important.
And because we love you so much.
Because we love you.
We want everyone to make sure that they have a Bible.
Can somebody get a camera? Take some pictures. Wait. The front, the lady in the blue coat, when we started the Bible study, she says, wait, stop. We said, well, we want to do a teaching now. And she said, I have something to say. And she stood up with her Bible and she said, this Bible is not only going to change my life, this word of God I'm going to use to change my entire family. My friends, the kingdom of God is moving. And I feel like we're seeing the tip of the iceberg. In the last 4 years, we've helped over 850. But there is a momentum going on right now of these women reaching other women. I believe in the next 3 years, we're going to move to 500 a year and then 1,000 a year. And we're going to be able to transform this nation of Kenya. If you want to get involved, there's a sheet on that table, card table back there. Just give me your email address and name and just say, I'm going to pray. Some of you might say, you know what, I want to help volunteer by helping make these cards. The women are making handmade paper, but we need volunteers here to help process them, okay? So if you like crafts or you just want to meet with some ladies and do something, then on the sheet, just put cards. Maybe like Kevin, you'd say, I want to go and see for myself. I want to go and participate. Even if you pray, you can come. If you love people, you can come. There isn't some big requirement. Some of you may have great skills that match as we train people. So on that sheet, put down team. Some of you might say, I want to help be able to train a woman. Maybe you want to help one. That's why I put that up there, because people said, I want to know how to help. $7.50 a month, you'll train one person a year. That'll change one family. Can you give up one coffee? Well, maybe they're not $7.50. Okay, give up two coffees. And help one person. Many of you have these flyers. There's more back there. Everything's listed there, empoweringlives.org/trainings. And I'm not trying to do a commercial, friends. I'm trying to change lives. And I know you, that's your heart too. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are your workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good work that you have had in mind for us. Father, I pray for your favor upon this body, upon this family. And we ask, God, and agree together that you would accomplish things above and beyond all we could ask or even imagine. Do it for your glory and for your honor. I pray for Paris right now. Oh, God, protect her. Continue to give her a desire and a passion to reach more women. And for Ruth, dear God, now as a leader, over 6,000 people, Lord, we pray that you will protect her and give her wisdom and discernment and great courage to proclaim your gospel. And I thank you for this body. Lord, may you speak to hearts today that some who have never thought of missions or Africa, God, let them, may you move in us that we will get involved in a very special way. So call us to yourself and use us as your lights. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, and be blessed.